here this week, and I started under difficult circumstances with doing some repairs in our house. I'll tell you, when all the sand came down on Thursday, I felt so good. So now the whole country is covered with sand. Just as we are in the house, the truth is that we moved out to some dungeon beneath Harnof. Nobody knows where we are. It's terrific. It's mamish terrific. There is one person who knows, but she can be trusted not to. So, of course, it's been very difficult to come into the house where I usually have my table and I cut and I paste and I have my Xerox machine. You know that. Remember, you're not supposed to tell anybody that I have a Xerox machine. I'll have all the neighbors knocking on my door. So it turned out that as I put together the sources for this year, I came across something I hadn't seen in years, or something I never looked at before. One of the shurim of Nechama Leibowitz on this week's parsha. And lo and behold, most of the sources that I had wanted were right there, so why not go straight to the... she did all the work for me. So why not? So just it turned out so easy, especially I was up at 5:30, 5:45 this morning to get into the house when nobody is there. And, you know, I dirt to the right and dirt to the left, and I made my way through. So we're going to take you through a shir about Nazir. In this parasha, there's the parasha of the Nazir, a person who makes a vow and says, Hareini Nazir, I accept upon myself to be a Nazir. Nazir means to be separate, to be different. There are many meanings to the word. And the halacha tells us that the Nazir, has to stay away from anything that is that comes from the grape. No wine, not even grapes, nothing. That's one. Number two, he also must let his hair grow long or not cut one's hair. And the third is that he's not permitted to become defiled by contact with a body. And even if it's a mother or a father that has died, a wife, no contact with the dead. When the period of Nazirut passes, now if a person did not specify how long he wants to be a Nazir, it's 30 days. But he can specify 60, 100, as much as he wants. There's a certain ambivalence as you go through the parasha, and we're going to see some of the significant psukim here. Is the Nazir, is it good for the Jews? Is it bad for the Jews? Is this a positive act? Is it negative? To put it really in the words of the Torah itself, twice he is referred to as Kadosh, a holy one. Yet twice it also says that he has to bring a korban chatat, a sin offering, because he sinned. Is he saint or sinner? Is he a Kadosh or is he a Chote? You'll go through the parasha and you'll see one pasuk he's... Now you see him as Kadosh, now you see him as Chote. Who is he? What is he? It may very well also be important, and I'm not sure that I have developed an answer for that yet. Well, why is this parasha here? We're right now in... maybe I shouldn't even ask it because I'm not sure that I have an answer. But, you know, so what then if I don't have an answer? So you think about it yourself. Parashiyot Bamidbar and Naso and half of Bahalotcha are all of the preparations that are being made by the Jewish people in order that they enter Eretz Yisrael. Why is this part of the preparation? In a sense, of course, it's speaking about the sanctity of the camp, because the original plan, the tochnit av, the original plan was that Jews were now going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And here they are marching with the Mishkan in the middle, and the tribes all around the Mishkan. And the Medrash Tanchuma says that the manner in which the tribes traveled and were encamped around the Mishkan is precisely the way the children of Yaakov had been assigned by their father to carry his coffin when they took him for burial. That's the same way. But now, of course, we're talking about them going through the Midbar. There is the camp of the Divine Presence in the middle, the Shekhinah. So what's taking place, of course, is the, in a sense, the sanctity of the camp. For example, there are a few psukim in Parashat Naso where the where we're told that anyone who is unclean is not permitted into the camp and has to be outside the camp until they are permitted in. We, of course, have the parasha of Sota. The woman who is suspected by her husband of having been unfaithful. So I imagine this also appears here because what the Torah wants and what God wants is that a spirit of sanctity descend upon the camp, because this is a holy camp that's going to be marching through the Midbar until they arrive in Eretz Yisrael. So here we have the parasha of Nazir. And what we have to try to decide, and maybe there is no clear decision, it may very well be that the Nazir is both Kadosh and Chote. He may be a saint and he may also be a sinner. He may be any one of the two. There can be different kinds of Nazirim, those who are holy and those who are not. So Nechamah begins by bringing a very beautiful paragraph from Rav Soloveitchik, whom you heard a great deal about, as you always do in the Shir before. And this is from one of his great early works, and one of those works that he had published in his lifetime. A great deal of what's appearing now was not published in his lifetime. One of his great works was the Ish HaHalacha. In the Ish HaHalacha, he is describing the Jew, the Talmud Chacham. It's really, in a sense, a description of his father, of his grandfather, Reb Chaim, his great-grandfather, Reb Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik I. And he differentiates between the man of Halacha and the man of religion, the Ish Hadat. The Ish Hadat is the man of religion, of many religions in the world. And he wants to describe the way in which they're distinct and they're separate. In this paragraph, he describes the man of religion, all other religions. Hashi'ifa litrans Terrific, his language. There is a longing. There's a longing that man has to be transcendental. There's a longing for man to go beyond himself. And loveshet lifrakim tzura, ascetic. There are times where this longing takes on the garment, the robes of the ascetic. Nizirut and sagfaniyut. Here. Number one, there are those who conduct themselves either at times in their lives or for a whole life, in a sense, accepting upon themselves all sorts of prohibitions, a sense of suffering, self-flagellation, fasting, yes. He's really describing not only the Christian man of religion, it may very well be in other religions as well. And that adds up in the second sentence, Shlilat ha-chayim u-shlilat ha-olam hazeh, a rejection of life and a rejection of this world. Bitul, huh? Yeah. Bitul ha-yesh v'ha-metziyut, a removal of existence and reality. In other words, to transcend reality, they attempt to negate all of the reality around them. Adigat ish hadat la'olam ha'elyon. The yearning and the longing of the man of religion for a higher world, ha'mistadeya chutz l'mechitzot ha'yesh ha'mamashi. He wants to transcend, he wants to move out of the boundaries of this world. Break through. It took on the form in many various religious philosophies of Nezirut Prishut, being separate, a hermit, Konamot v'hadarat hana'a, taking upon themselves all sorts of vows, rejecting the pleasure of this world, Sakfanut David Saimanut, suffering, fasting. Lifamin ish hadat sover, there are times when the man of religion thinks ki inuyim v'yisurim, torture and suffering, aniyot, fasting, v'hidbodudut, and being out alone, away from society, heima ha'emtzim, they are the means, ha'mevim oshen nitzchil adam, they are the means that bring man eternal joy. A rejection of this world gives one a sense of such holiness. Such holiness. And all of this suffering brings one beneath the wings of majesty. A man who separates himself from the world and all that's in it. And he sets aside, he abandons plain earthly pleasures of the flesh. Ah, that gives him Olam Haba. Zocha lefi hashkafa zu l'chaye olam. Person who is able to do away with all worldly pleasures is the one who, according to this hashkafa, to this belief, receives eternal world. Ulekiyum elyon nizgav. I can't help again. I've read this paragraph many times before. But as I read it this time, it suddenly struck me. What is the ultimate in giving up the pleasures of this world? The suicide bomber. He doesn't... More than fasting, and more than being alone, and all of the other... when one takes life, one's own life, one is removing oneself from all pleasure. If you take the Rav's description of the Ish Hadat and just take it one step further, all of a sudden it strikes me, why wouldn't this make sense even to the Catholic or any other religion, man of religion, if giving up pleasure, giving up the joy of this world, is that which causes man to become able to transcend it? So what's the ultimate giving up of pleasure? Blowing yourself up. Huh? Yeah, they expect. Well, by the way, the one who is the celibate or whatever other, he also expects pleasure in the world to come. So the pleasure will be. So by one, the pleasure is being basking in the glory of God. It's not Nairishkeit what I'm saying. I mean, this is the ultimate of a rejection of this world and all of its worldly pleasures. I just can't help it. I just want to tell you what I was thinking about. Because we are faced with a phenomenon that is so mad, that defies, or nearly defies, any ability to explain it. I'm not ready to believe that these are drugged up 18 and 19 year old. I don't believe it. There has to be some kind of a hashkafa, a Weltanschauung, that seems to point in that direction. And if giving up pleasure is a way to transcend this world, giving up all pleasure is a way to bless your way out of this world into the netherworld. All right. That's enough. So now, where does the Nazir fit into this description? He is also abandoning or rejecting certain pleasures. I mean, it expresses itself in wine and anything that comes from the grape. Is he saint? Is he sinner? The fact is, when one reads the parasha, there are two sentences that are so similar to what is written with regard to the Kohen Gadol, the high priest is certainly Kadosh. Amongst the halachas for the high priest is the halacha of Al kol nafshot meit lo yavo. He shall not come in contact with any dead body. Lo aviv uliimo leochiv ulachoso. He should not become defiled. Nearly the same words are used with regard to the nazir, and that they're not supposed to drink wine. Kohen is not supposed to drink wine when he's going to do the avoda. Yes. Oh no, but you're right. Okay, so there's a difference. Yeah, but the nazir, of course, the nazir can be married. We're talking about the nazir. All right. And so there we have at the bottom of the page, we have one of the psukim ad melot hayomim asher yazil Hashem, until the end of those days that he has vowed to be to God. Kadosh yihyeh, shall be holy. Gadel per asar roshi, is supposed to let the hair of his head grow long. Next page. Next page means on the back of this side. Understand? At the bottom of the page, it should say number, page 70. At the top, Kol Yimei Nizro Kodosh Hu Lashem. All the days of his vow, he is holy. So here we have two sources where he's referred to as holy. Let's go to source number 3. Because in source number 3, we finally see the question as it is set up in the Gemara. This is a very famous Gemara. Omar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Kol hayoshev betanit nikra chote. Anybody who fasts is called a sinner. And yoshev betanit usually means one who fasts, you know, more than the usual amount, is called a sinner. Savar ki hai tana, Shmuel holds like the following tana, the tanya, because we learned, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar b'Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, in the name of Rabbi, said, Ma Talmud Lomar, what does it mean when it says over here in our parasha by a nazir that he's supposed to bring a sin offering, v'chiper alav me'asher chata al hanefesh, and this will be a source of atonement for the sin of his soul? So Rabbi Elazar HaKapar asks, v'chibeiz nefesh chata zeh? Against whose soul? Did the nazir hurt anybody? He didn't hurt anybody. He didn't do anything to anybody. Ela, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says, shetzir atzmo min hayayin. You know whose soul he caused pain to? His own soul. He caused himself the pain, but he doesn't drink wine. V'halo dvorim kal v'chomer. Oy, what a kal v'chomer. U'mal zeh shalo tzir atzmo ela min hayayin nikra chotei. Here is a hashkafa statement of our rabbis. This person, what did he deny himself? He denied himself wine. For some of us, of course, that's a great denial. I'm a wine lover. And said, I'm a wine lover. Okay? You know? Talk about Kiddush. I'm a wine lover. For me, if I would accept upon myself or any nazir, this would be... not everybody likes wine. Not everybody likes wine. I think most people don't even have a taste for wine. Anybody that can drink the sweet Kiddush wines and think that's wine, you understand? And every time I come, like for a Shabbos, to a hotel, and I see 100 tables and they have this sweet cough syrup, yes, on the tables, and everybody's making Kiddush, and I'm the one person who gets a hold of the head waiter and says, I need white, dry wine. Rothschild, 1823. And they push it. They don't have a taste for it. So you should know, usually I do. I only make trouble in the hotel when I forgot to bring my own. You know, sometimes you have to be a little aggressive. Okay. So the Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says, this person only denied himself wine, and he's called a sinner. Do you understand? Somebody who denies himself a great deal more than wine. For example, a person who fasts is certainly a sinner. We're going to see that this also is expressed in Talmud Yerushalmi. In the Jerusalem Talmud, it says that a person is going to be called before the bar of heavenly justice for every pleasure that he could have had in life, that was permitted, of course, and that he denied himself. This is Hashkafas HaTorah. God gave life to people to be lived and to be enjoyed. Torah does not see that causing oneself pain or denial as being a religious goal or objective. But of course, everything within the measure of what the Rav would call the Ish HaHalacha. That's all. We know what's mutter and we know what's aser, but what's mutter is mutter. There's a second opinion, and this is not Rabbi Lozer HaKapor, this is Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer says, Nikro Kadosh. The first opinion was that whoever fasts is called a sinner. And here's the exact opposite opinion, that whoever fasts or denies himself anything is called Kadosh, holy. Shenema, the passage that we read earlier, Kadosh Yiyeh Gadil Pe'era Sarosho. He shall be holy and let his hair grow long. Ulishmuel. So now we have two opinions. One opinion has stressed the word chet, that he has sinned. The other one stresses the word kadosh, that he's holy. What's each one going to do? What is each opinion going to do with the word that expresses the other opinion? So the Gemara says, according to Shmuel, who says that the one who fasts, like the Nazir, is called a sinner. Ah, but it says kadosh. Kadosh Yihyeh Gadel Perasarosho is here. So the Gemara says, you know what Shmuel means? Shmuel says that the word Kadosh over there is not describing the Nazir, it's describing his hair. His hair that grows long is Kadosh, and at the end there's going to be a ceremony where it is burned in the Mishkan. Top of the next page, Ula Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar, who says that a Nazir is Kadosh Ah, but he's called Chote, he's called a sinner. So he says, Hahi Hahu Desoyev Navshe. You know when he's called a sinner? If he broke one of the conditions of his Nazirut. For example, he's not permitted to be defiled to a dead body. If he did, that's when he's called a Chote. Right? We can go to number four. There are going to be now three quotations from the Rambam. All famous. All famous. The Rambam says in Hilchot Deyot, Shema Yomar HaAdam, maybe men will say, Hoil v'hakino v'hatav v'hakavod, it's classic. Since jealousy, lust, and honor, ukiyotzebhem, and similar things, derech ro'ehein, they are a way of evil, umotziyinet ha'adam min ha'olam, And they remove a person from this world. Yiddish is, of course, the best way to describe it. These things, three things cause a person sich auf zu essen lebedicke hate, to eat yourself up alive. Doesn't sound as good in English as it does in Yiddish. You know, eat yourself up alive. Kina, jealousy, taiva, lust, desire, and covet and honor. So he says, since these three are terrible, a person may say to himself, Efrosh mehen biyoter, I'm going to separate myself as much as I can. Ve'etrachek letzad ha'acharon, I'm going to go to the other side. I don't want having no jealousy, no desires for anything, no covet. And therefore, Achelo yochal boso velo yishta yayin, he's not going to eat meat, and he's not going to drink wine. Velo yisa isha, he's not going to marry. Velo yeshev bedira noi, he's not going to live in a nice apartment. Velo yilvash levush noi, and he's not going to wear nice clothing. Ella, you know what he's going to wear? Sak v'tzemer, sackcloth, and v'tzemer hakosha, hard wool, ukiyotzeben. Kagon, for example, the Rambam movie is too. Kigon Kohanei Akum, the priests of the world of idolatry. There were those who caused themselves great pain and suffering. So the Rambam says, don't think of that. Don't even consider the possibility of removing yourself from the world of pleasure. Because Gamzu Derech Rohi, this is also an evil way. But also Leilech Ba, there are paths that you're not permitted to go in those you're not permitted to follow in those paths. And a person who goes on this road, Of course, I can't help but saying, even if he has a roadmap, it's mahalach, it's a very, very bad way to go. This is a sinner, Shadayu Omer ben Ozer, and the Rambam quotes from our parasha, V'chiper olav mi'asher chotal ha'nefesh, he has to be forgiven for that, for the fact that he sinned. Omru chachamim, the Rambam is quoting one of the opinions that we learned. Umayim nozer shalom pita shalom anayayin, a nozer who only separated himself from wine. Tzorech kapora needs atonement and forgiveness. Hamonei ha'atzmo, we call dover v'dover, a person who separates himself and denies himself everything. Al achat kama v'kama certainly is considered a sinner. Lefichach tzivu chachamim, therefore our wise man commanded, shalom yimna odvam atzmo elu midvarim shemena'ato ha'tore levad. A person should deny himself only those things that the Torah denied him. In a sense, here he's going to quote the famous pasuk in Kohelet, Al tizdak harbe. Don't be too big of a tzaddik. Lo dayoch, it's not enough, masha osra Torah, what the Torah prohibited. Just do what the Torah asks, what the Torah asks of you. Therefore, back to the a person shouldn't place additional restrictions on himself through vows and oaths, about things that are really permitted. And kach amru chachamim, this is one of the famous Yerushalmis. Lo dayach ma'asa the Torah. It's not enough what the Torah prohibited. El shata oser olecho dvarim achayim, that you prohibit yourself other things. And included in this is eleshim et anin tamid, those who fast constantly, ain't on the derech tov, it's not the good way. V'amru chachamim, shei odom nesagef atzmo, v'osru chachamim, shei odom nesagef atzmo betanit. Our rabbis prohibited a person from causing himself torture through fasting. V'al kol ha'dvarim ha'elo ki yotzeh ben tziva shloma, about all of these things, Shloma HaMelech commanded, and he said, al tihi tzadek harbe, v'al titchakem yoteh, lomo tishomeim. Don't be such a big tzadek. Don't think you're so wise. Why should you remain desolate? The Kuzri describes that ultimately the result of this separation from the world creates not merely an emptiness within the individual, but a hatred of the world. He begins to despise. How much he describes, you can find... He describes how this desire for transcendence turns into looking at life and the world as something absolutely ugly. The only path to real sanctity and having a sense of the beauty of life and nature, is only by following the prescription of the Torah. In the Shmona Prakim, the Rambam's introduction to Pirkei Avos, he says, this complete Torah that makes us complete, says, how do we know that the Torah gives us a sense of self-completion? Because God says about Torah, Torah Hashem Timimo Machkimas Pesi, it makes the one who is a fool, it makes him wise. Lo tzivto dovar mi'ein zeh, the Torah never commanded anything of this sort. Torah never commanded man to impose upon himself any kind of suffering, and Torah never imposed any kind of suffering. This is the beautiful word. I like this. The Torah commanded that a person should be tiv'i. That's beautiful. Natural. God made us that we want to eat. But you know, everything mitamos. Mitamos. You have to be concerned about high blood pressure, you have to be concerned about cholesterol, and you have to be concerned about triglycerides, and you have to be concerned about all, but you know, after you're concerned about all of those things, Torah wants man to be natural. Here is one of the places where the Rambam establishes his principle of the golden mean. Yes, what do you... By the way, that's also true, and we're going to see if we get to it. Torah Tamima says that you know why, if the Nazir is Kadosh, do you know why he has to bring a sin offering? Because he couldn't make Kiddush and havdalah on wine. In other words, with every form of denial, you are also not able, therefore, to fulfill certain mitzvot and say certain brachot that you would have said otherwise. So that it means, therefore, that any time you go to the extreme, or any kind of an extreme, or even move toward the extreme, it's at the expense of something. That's the nazir. He's kadosh, but at the same time, we're now moving into a... Well, we're moving into something else now. We are now moving from seeing him as either kadosh or kotei. We are now coming to see him as a mixture of both kadosh and kotei. Wait. We'll see right away. We'll see right. Go ahead. We'll see right away. It's coming. It's coming. What happens if this person knows that he has a weakness for wine and drink, or he has a weakness for anything else, and he arrives at a conclusion that he had better go through gemila? How do you say it in English? Detox. Okay, detox. What happens if his whole denial is in order that he should again regain his equilibrium? All right. So now, okay, good. So we're not looking at him again as either kadosh or chotei. In his chait, there's a cheshbon over here. The cheshbon is because, remember, the Rambam is now enunciating the principle of the middle path. Does everybody always succeed in remaining in the middle path, or do we need a mid-course correction from time to time? All right? A little Torah form of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it may apply to many other things in life, in a sense of regaining a balance. Ah, so the question is, why does he accept him? Does he accept it upon himself because he just wants to deny the good world that God gave us? Or does he deny himself because he wants to be able to enjoy that world in a balanced manner? Weiter, watch. Torah wanted that men should be tivi, holech bederech emtzei, going in the middle path. Yochal mash yeshlo lecho b'shivui. He should eat that which he should eat, but with balance, and drink, an equal. That's his way of saying balanced. God wants people to inhabit lands and establish states in yosher and in emunah, in correctness and in faith. He doesn't want people to be living in caves and in mountains. Lo shil basha seyah. God doesn't want that people should be wearing clothing made out of hair. Lo shiatriach gufo v'yaneuto. He shouldn't cause trouble for his body or cause pain. Page 74. I think, is that it? No. 72. V'nesar alav adavar. On the contrary, this is prohibited. Because we learned by Nazir. And the Rambam brings out the words of Rabbi Elazar HaKapa that if you deny yourself, you're a sinner. The third quotation from the Rambam is from the Mori Nevuchim. The Tam Nezirut Mevuam, listen carefully. The Tam Nezirut, that's number 6. Tam Nezirut Mevuam, the reason for Nezirut is very clear. The purpose is to separate oneself from wine that has caused such harm and such loss to the early ones and to the later ones. Rabim v'atzumim kol harugav. How many are mighty all of those who have been destroyed by drink. V'gam eile b'yayin shagu. By the way, you find it in the Navi... The Navi speaks against drink. He quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu v'kam ele bayayin shogu. Their mistakes were made because they were drunk. They were intoxicated with wine. By the way, man can also be intoxicated with an exaggerated opinion of himself. Right? There are all sorts of things that are very heady and very intoxicating for man. There's a beautiful pasuk in Mishle, Limi oi, Limi avoi, Limi chachlilut einayim. I think at the end of chapter 23, unbelievable pasuk. Why don't I remember the whole pasuk now? I don't know. I'll have to learn it again. I remember that pasuk because it's one of the three psukim in all of Tanakh that has the same word repeated six times. Lemi. Is it at the end of chapter 23? Or 24? Or 22? Lemi oi, lemi avoi, lemi medonim, the end of the chapter. Lemi, alright. Anyway, it's a description of who says oi? Who says vei? Who's the one that's going to bang himself and hurt himself? Whose eyes are all red? Whose face is all afire? Who seems to be lost? A person who drinks. So the Rambam in Morne Buchim says that this nazirut is... I got it? Oh, come on. Chapter 23, verse 29. Limi oi, limi avai, limi medanin, limi siach, limi pitzayim chinam, limi chachlilut einayim. He has six questions. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Gets into all sorts of fights. Who has babbling? He babbles like a meshugana. Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? The next pasuk says, "Lama'achrim al hayayin, those who tarry long at wine, laboyim lachkor mimesach, those who mix their wines." Al teide yayin ki yisach. He keeps going, talking about the terrible things that happen as a result of wine. But remember, listen, you don't even have to go that far. We start off with Nebuch. Noach is one. Lot is two. Not only do you have Noach and Lot, yes, very good. According to one opinion, Nadav Avihu went into the Bet HaMikdash, to Mishkan, to do the Avodah after they had had wine. They weren't drunk yet, but even at a Vit Yayin, a few ounces of wine, a coin is not supposed to. And then there are other examples in Tanakh of. So the Rambam says, that's right, but he has to speak, you know, like a religious doctor, okay? So he's, let's go for, come, we've got to get a few great things in. Ubomi din hanazirus me isa mi kolash yasa mi yasa mi gefen ayayin. The prohibition of a nazir is anything that comes from the vine or from the grape. You shouldn't. Laharchoko yaseda. What a beautiful sentence. I mean, I don't need to tell you that a sentence on the Rambam is great, but this is great. He says, so that a man should remove himself until he reaches the point again, that what will be enough for him is that which he needs. He should not end up taking more and more of it. Ki hanishma mimenu nikra kadosh. Because the one who guards himself is called Kadosh. You know what the Rambam is doing here in this Morne Buchim? He might seem to be rejecting what he said both in the Yad HaChazakah and in the selection that we had from the Shmona Prakim. In both of them, he talks about the Nazir as being a Chote. And now he's talking about the Nazir being a Kadosh. Of course it's not contradictory. That's the whole purpose of why I'm asking the question. That's what the Rambam is saying. In other words, what the Rambam has brought us to is to the point where we understand. You're not talking out of both sides of your mouth if you call the Nazir Kadosh and Chote. It depends why. If he is doing it in order to bring himself back to a balance in life, then he's a kadosh. That's the point we wanted to get to. It looks like a contradiction, but it isn't a contradiction. Ki anishma mimenu nikra kadosh, the one who watches himself from wine is called kadosh. He's placed on the level of a high priest in holiness. This greatness that he's compared to a Kohen Gadol simply because he separated himself from wine. Do you understand? He seems to be singing a song of praise to this Nazir, who in the Yad HaChazakah he referred to as a chote, as a sinner. Because it all depends on why the person is doing it. Yes, Malka? You know, you're talking about the Rambam's approach is a balanced approach. Balanced approach. Yes? What? No. It all comes as a package. But that in and of itself already would be a great shear. Why this package? But we're not going into that. You're not going to draw me away from what I want to talk about. Yes? So I consider the Nazir as being a type. What the Torah is telling you, and therefore it applies to everything else, that a person may feel at times in order to protect himself, then he should, if necessary, take a vow of some sort. On general principles, Shlomo HaMelech says, Tov asher lo tidor mishet tidor, better that you should not take a vow than take a vow. But then there are times where what's being established over here is a principle, a form. A person may say to himself, you know, I take a vow, belinator, not to do such and such. And not, you know, what it really means is that it doesn't always have to take the form of a vow. I'm not going to go to certain places because I know I'm going to meet certain people there. And, you know, everybody. So the Nazir is a type. Huh? An example, right? Now, wait a minute. What? Of how man should deal with his weaknesses. There are times that the only way to deal with the weakness is to take the bull by the horn and say, no, I vow not to do it. That's it. Hey, who's they? This is God. I just told Leah over there, I'm not going into that because that will be a whole share in its own. We're going to continue on our general share right now. No. No, I don't want to say a word about Shimshon. I mean, Shimshon, of course, is the Haftarah. Shimshon, of course, is the Haftarah. And then again, you understand, you may very well turn around and tell me that Shimshon is not a good example of a Nazir. What, his parents? God is the one, the angel is the one who told the parents that he should be a Nazir. You're right, Shmuel HaNavi, there was only Umore lo yale al rosho, that he shall not cut his hair. Okay. I got to tell you two great things before the shir is over. The Ramban, great Ramban. The Ramban has a very unique approach. He's holy, the Nazir. So why does he have to bring a sacrifice? Because he sinned a korban chatat. Gevaldig. On the top of page 74, it's number 8. Listen to the Ramban. The 4 is a little bit Mitushtash. So it's the one next to page 75. V'tam hachatos, number 8. The reason of the sin offering she'akriv hanazir b'yom alot yimein yizro lo nitparesh. It isn't explained to us, why does he have to bring a sin offering on the day that he completes his period of being a Nazir? V'al derech ha'pshat. Listen to this. Ki ha'ish hazeh chotei nafsho b'melot ha'nezirut. This man, you know when he becomes a sinner? Not during the period of his Nazirut. When it comes to an end. Because you know what? When he has successfully completed his period as a Nazir, he has risen in sanctity. And you know what's happening now? He's going back to the real world. There's the fall. There's a fall that's taking place now. I would say it's a form of re-entry into the real world. Because he has achieved a certain level of sanctity. And now he's going to go back to being just another man. This man sins against his soul. Look at the words in the Rambam. Let's follow the Rambam. When the Nazirut comes to a completion, right now, he is Nazir b'kedushato v'avodat Hashem. V'ra'uy hayoya lo. Now he's on a level that he should be Yazir la'olam. He should remain a Nazir forever. V'yamod kol yamav. Nazir v'kadosh l'alekov. All of his days he should be separated and holy to God. As it says, the Navi says, in the name of God, I'm going to make your sons prophets and your young men Nazirim. So the Pasuk, he says, has compared the Nazir to a prophet. As it says, Kol Yimei Nizro, Kadosh Hu Hashem. You see how beautifully the Ramban reads that Pasuk. All the days that he's a Nazir, he is a Kadosh. When the period of the Zirut ends, he sort of is coming down from the upper levels down to every day. Thank you. And that's his sin. Alright. We'll end with Reb Meir Simcha. No, we don't assume he's going to sin. He's not going to sin at all. But here he was on a higher level, and now he's coming down to reality. That's all. He's not going to sin. No. Whatever it may have been that he sinned before, he has now healed himself for the rest of time. Everybody's taking care of me. I told my wife that I have the most famous vocal cords in Yerushalayim. You understand? Everybody's worried about my vocal cords. But it's all right. When you have this problem, you begin to find out all the other people that have this problem. You know, like when you have an operation, you find out everybody who had the same operation. Okay, I know about everybody's vocal cords. I know about Rabbi Kadoza's vocal cords and Rabbi Adler's vocal cords. I can give you a full report on all of them. But I thought I'd be able to go through this shiur already without any difficulty, but all right. Okay. Reb Meir Simcha is on page 75. One of the great accomplishments of Reb Meir Simcha is he takes a word in this parasha that is so difficult to understand, and this is sometimes his genius, the way he takes a look at a word. And there it is, you see, number 11, Biyom Melot Nizro. Listen to the pasuk. Biyom Melot Nizro, the day on which His nezirut is full, it's complete. Yavi oto el petach ohel moed. Yavi oto. He shall bring him to the door of the tent of meeting. Bring who? Who shall bring who? Yavi oto. Who shall bring? So Rashi says, Yavi et atzmo. He's going to bring himself. The big problem is that the way you would write bring himself? Yavi, he will bring oto. And Rashi says, as Annette said, v'zeh echad mishlosha etim shahayana v'yishmoel doresh king. There are three, one of the three times it says the word et. That Rabbi Yishmael dashing like this, we don't have to go into the other examples, but the word oto, which is talking in the third person, is really first person. He brought himself. What a strange term to use. And the Meshech Chachma does a job on this. Listen. B'sifri. He brings the Sifri, the Medrash Tanaim on the Pasuk. V'chiyachedim meviyim oto. Are there others who bring him? V'alohu meviyat atzmo. He brings himself. So the Meshech Chachma says, Hinei zman ha-nezirut lo nizkar b'torah behegye. Torah never said how long the period of nezirut should be. You know why? So he says, because the nezirut is in order for a person to go through a process of correction. Now what happens if he feels he needs 50 days? What happens if he thinks he needs 100 days? That's really left up to the individual. He can specify any amount of time. The minimum amount, Gemara will tell us, the minimum amount is 30 days. Because it says, Nazir Yihiyeh. He shall be a Nazir. Yihi, yeah, is the gematria 30. Two yuds and two hays. Two tens and two fives. You got 30. So if a person simply says, I will be a Nazir, 30 days. But he can say 50, 60. So the Meshech Chachma says, because Zman HaNezirut is not mentioned in the Torah, V'hum Yishum She'ikid HaNezirut Hukamo Sha'ama. What is the purpose of Nazirut? Nazir l'hazir l'Hashem. He wants to separate himself so he shall be to God. V'zeh, the purpose is, ligdor atzmo mehatavot v'ha-ga'avot v'ha-motarot, that he should place a wall around himself from lust and from arrogance and from motarot, luxuries. V'alzeh ein zman. There is no specific amount of time. Rakol echad, every person, yisha'er b'nafsho, has to figure out for himself, im zman ze yaspik ligdor kochot yitzro. Everybody has to figure out, is this the amount of time that will be enough for me to create a new personality? Ozdai b'shloshim yom u'bameya, can be 30 days or it can be 100. Rakol lefi mashehu adam, it depends on what kind of a man he is. How does he know if he's finished and finished successfully? Great what he says. Wait, this is such a crucial moment. You can't not do it. Not now. He says, you know what? The Nazir has to be able to look at himself objectively. He has to take a look at himself like he's judging somebody else. He has to stand outside of himself and then take a look at himself. Did I do it? Did I succeed? That's why the Pasuk says, Yavi Oto. Let it get into the Kishkas. He has to look at himself like he's looking at somebody outside of himself. Yes, now you can. You're right. So I have an answer to that. How do you like that? Number one, he did in a sense decide ahead of time. If he said, Hareini Nazir Shishim Yom, I'm going to be Nazir 60 days. But he has to take a second look. In other words, he assumed at the beginning of the Nazirut that 30 days or 60 days will be enough. You know what he has to do now? He has to take a second look. He has to stand back and take a second look. Did he succeed? Maybe if he didn't succeed, he should take a new Nazirut. Finish this one and take a new one upon himself. Huh? Take a new vow. But what he has to be able to do, the thing that's most probably so difficult for every one of us to do, is the ability to look at ourselves like we're looking at an outsider. To see ourselves from outside ourselves. I mean, that really is the yesod of all tshuva. Tshuva is the ability to look at myself like I'm outside of myself. Because we're always going to justify our indiscretions. We're always going to find that when somebody else did something wrong, that was terrible. But when I did it, there was always good reason for it. We can always rationalize. We can always rationalize our own misconduct. Then again, the possibility is that having successfully completed his 30 or his 60 days, he's in a far, far better position now to take a look at himself in a very objective manner. Let's read the great words of the Meshech Chochma. The test, ladat, ematai nigmar shleimuto malato. When is his fulfillment and the level that he wanted to reach, when is it completed? Shekochot yitzro lo yolichuhu shalom, that the power of his inclination will not lead him astray. Hachemdo lo yatel ha-seichel, and his desires are not going to cause his intellect to err. You know how? You know when he knows that? Kishu mistakel al inyanei atzmo kemabit al mifalot acherim. When he takes a look at his own deeds as he would look at the deeds of others. Ulevavo eino chashud ba'ahavat atzmo, and that his heart is not suspect of self-love. Oz batuach, then it's certain, ki yikach mehana'ot ha'olam b'mezeg ha'ra'oi v'lo yavo l'motarot. Then he can be sure that he will be able to take from the pleasures of this world on an even keel, and he's not going to come to all sorts of luxuries. Va'adarabe, yehane meha'olam, he's saying such great stuff. On the contrary, you should know, when one takes anything to an excess, one doesn't enjoy it anymore. The first two, three drinks are great. The fourth or the fifth, you understand, you're on the slippery slope. And not only that, he says that one's personality, I may read too much into the Meshech Chochma, but so what? He says he's going to be more mu'urav im habriyot. You're going to get on well with other people. You know what I believe he's saying? If you're happy with yourself, the person who's happy with himself will always be able to relate to others in a far, far better way than the person who's not terribly happy with himself. Save us from somebody who is very unhappy with themselves and the world. Ki eino mi kavanat habodei shelo yehena mi olam. Remember, God does not have any intention that man shouldn't enjoy the world. Rak ze begeder refua. The whole nazirut was a form of healing. Ukemo she'amru, nazir chote. Nazir is a chote, and then he heals himself. And when he finally completes it, he has to bring him. Let's put it this way. He brings his most significant other into the Mishkan. When he takes a look at himself like he's an other. V'lachein, just this last paragraph is so beautiful, this Mishkan. V'lachein dibra Torah b'loshon, that's why the Torah expresses itself b'loshon in a terminology, shehu mevi et atzmo kemevi esh acher. He brings himself like he's bringing somebody else. As he looks at the advantages of another person and he weighs them, b'maznei tzedek, in the scales of real justice, kein yashkif al inyanei atzmo. That's how he has to look at himself. The daye ketev, study this well, think about it well. What a beautiful idea, huh? when he's able to do that at the end. So then it turns the whole Nazirut from Kotei into Kadosh. I agree with you 100%. Everybody, Chag Sameach.